Jude was written earlier than John was, and it comes following in the Bible. But John outlived all the other disciples and certainly was used of God mightily. And as he wrote to Gaius, who was a precious fellow, and he was prosperous. Look in verse number 2. We'll just back up there and start. Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. That is, he was growing in grace. He was maturing as a Christian. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. And our thought is that they came, those brethren came back, and they testified of the truth that was in Gaius and that he walked in truth. And so we're talking about what kind of testimony that we have, and that all of us have a testimony, something that is said about us, something that other people see, something other people hear, something that they think. In this world, we are to be a light to the world. We are to do those things pleasing in the sight of God and do that. Now, here in this book of 3 John, there had been some brethren coming by that was carrying the gospel, and some opposed them and would not work with them. Look in verse number 9, and we start reading there again in this same book. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth prating against us with malicious words. Not content therewith, neither doeth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. We'll stop reading there for tonight. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name now that you'd help us tonight. We realize the fact that we need you desperately to help us, and so we stand here as a needy creature. And Father, realizing, Lord, that you called us to preach, and so we stand in that calling tonight and ask for that divine anointing power, the Holy Ghost, be upon us and help us, and I pray give us the physical and the spiritual strength that we need. And I pray mentally we'll be able to think and be able to recall those things we need to recall and say what we need to say, and pray the Holy Spirit take it and speak to every heart of every person present. Father, help us all be concerned about our testimonies. And Father, as Gaius had that good testimony, I pray that you'd help all of us, that we too would do the same. I pray that you'd help us, God, be concerned about getting the gospel out and sharing it with others, that they too may know Jesus Christ. Then, Lord, there may be somebody here tonight that knows not Jesus, and I pray you'd speak to their heart. I pray for every unsaved in the house. I pray for every saved person that you're dealing with their lives about something. I pray for them. And I pray tonight, God, just have your way. Magnify yourself and get glory. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. We this morning tried to introduce the message and talked about the love it's talked about here. And then we talked about the fact that Jesus by name's not mentioned, but in verse 7, because for his name's sake, and that mentions the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all about him and getting the gospel out. I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm glad that I'm saved. But I want others also to be saved. I want others to know Christ. I want others to come to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful that I can be involved in trying to help others carry the gospel. And that's what Gaius was doing. He was helping brethren that came by. And then the other character we read about, he hindered it. And we'll talk about him later. But won't you turn back with me in 2 Timothy chapter 4. We turn there this morning. We'll turn back to that scripture. I want to pick up another fellow that I want to talk about and deal with his life just a little bit, and maybe glean some things from him. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10, we talked about Demas. It said, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica." And then in verse number 11, Now, he talks about some others going some other places, but here's what he says in verse number 11. Only Luke is with me. Only Luke is with me. I want to pick up on Luke here tonight. And as we talked about Demas this morning, we talked about the one that he was a deserter. He was forsaken. He left off what he all had been doing and having loved this world. And we talked about this world and the love of it and things of this world. And you can rest assured, somebody said tonight in prayer, I believe Brother Buck was praying and talking about the young people. The devil would love to wreck and to ruin every young person that he possibly can. He'd like to wreck and ruin every adult that he can. He'd like to wreck and ruin every life that he possibly can. It's his business to do that, and you'll have to give the devil credit that he's busy about his business. And so as we think about that, Demas forsaken, and now, but tonight I come to Luke, and he's that dependable one. I don't talk about him. He's dependable. Isn't it good? And I want to say this tonight. It's always good to have folk around that's dependable, that you can depend on, but that God can depend on. And God does depend on. I preached a message here one time on three men that God has confidence in. And we talked about Daniel and Job and somebody. I don't remember who the other one was right now. But there was three of them that he mentioned, if they were there, that they'd only deliver themselves, but he had confidence in them. He mentioned them by name. He named them because he had a confidence and depended upon them. I say tonight, it'd be good to have that kind of testimony before God, wouldn't it? That God could depend upon us to be what we ought to be for his glory and for his honor. Luke had that. And here in the reading of the scripture, you can almost hear Paul's voice when he said, demons have forsaken me. Having loved this present world, you hear the sadness of it and disappointment of it and how he felt the disgrace of it, that he had forsaken the very thing that God wanted him to do. But then he comes to Luke and he says, only Luke is with me. And even thought there that I need some more help, but Luke is here. Thank God for Luke, he's here. And Luke's that first medical missionary. And he went with the Apostle Paul, he was a doctor. And God used him to write the book of Luke and also the book of Acts. But he was that one that stayed by Paul's side and stayed faithful to him and helped him and also preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Luke's dependable. I praise the name of the Lord and thank God for it. I thought about over there in 1 Samuel chapter 30. You remember when David had been out fighting the battle and then Ziklag had been taken and he come back in and his wives and the families are gone, children are gone, and he and his men take off after him and they get to a brook and some can't go any further. And so they're staying there by the brook and David, some men that's strong go on and chase down and bring back. But he said to those that stayed by the stuff, and they stayed there by the, they left their stuff there and they stayed by. We need to stick by the stuff. We need to stay in the paths of the old paths and walk therein. And we need to keep on keeping on. And we need to stick fast, amen, and stay there. I'm glad. And not everybody goes preaches the gospel around the world. Not everybody's called of God to preach. Not everybody can sing. Not everybody can teach word. Not everybody can do the same thing. But everybody can help hold the ropes and stick by the stuff, amen. And so we need to do so. And I pray God that we will, and God will help us. You remember in 2 Samuel chapter 32, Shamit was over there in a field of lentils, the Bible said, that's peas. And he was in that field, and the Philistine been coming every time, come harvest time, and they'd take it away from him. And Shamit decided he wasn't going to run anymore. And the Bible said he stood in the midst of that field, and he fought the Philistine and won a victory. Amen. He said, I'm not leaving my pea patch anymore. I'm not going to leave. I got a message to preach on that. But I praise God. I don't want to leave my pea patch. Amen. God gave me a pea patch. I want to stay in my pea patch and stay there for the glory of God. I say hallelujah. Amen. And right now, Gateway's my pea patch. I'm hanging around and just love it. Amen. And I don't want the devil messing it up. And I believe it's worth fighting for and standing my ground for and staying there for and stick by the stuff for and let God do what he wants to do. Hallelujah. In fact, this shaman hit so many of them and knocked them down. I believe once any of them saw him coming, they played dead and said, I'm not raising my head up. He'll kill me short of the world. Hey, I'm glad every time a devil sticks his head up, we ought to swing a gospel at him, hit him square between the eyes and say, thank God, amen. And get on our knees and pray and say, Lord, rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. Did you know Michael the archangel? He didn't even rebuke the devil. He said, the Lord rebuke thee. I'm no match for the devil, but I've got one that is, hallelujah. I got one that's already handled him, in fact. Jesus Christ, when he died at Calvary, was buried and rose from the dead, he conquered the devil, hallelujah, and walked out victorious. And I say, praise God, he's already handled him, and so he can handle him in situations that come up in our lives. He can handle him in situations that come up in the church. He can handle him in situations that come up in your family. He can handle the devil no matter what the situation may be. He can handle him. I can't. I'm not able. I'm incapable. I feel my littleness, my weakness, my nothingness. But I'm glad for the power of him that loved me and gave himself for me. I'm talking about Luke tonight. I'm talking about that faithful one. Amen. And being faithful. Staying faithful to the word of God. Staying faithful to the house of God. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see that day approaching. And I see the day approaching. I see the coming of the Lord Jesus on the horizon. Fact is, he may come tonight. And the Bible says we ought to go to church more, not less. And we ought to be more faithful, not less faithful. And we ought to get in there and exhort one another. It helps me when you're here. And I hope and pray I can help you when I'm here. I pray that we can help each other, exhort one another. That means encourage each other in the things of God. And surely we live in that day when the devil trying to discourage. But oh, for the encouragement comes from coming to the house of God and just being around the people of God. I'm glad, praise God, we can come and be in the house of God. Amen. And be there for the glory of God. Thank God for the reality of that. And seeing this. And the word of God is so precious. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick. That means it's living. Quick and powerful. Sharper than a two-edged sword. Piercing, dividing asunder soul, spirit, joints and marrow. Discern of the thoughts, intents of the heart. The word of God can be preached. And it may, God may take it and say something to this side or something to you personally, individually. And over here, maybe somebody else, he'll say something personally, individually to them. You know why? Because a word sharp as a two-edged sword and divides and knows the discernment of your mind. He knows what you're thinking and he knows the intents of your heart and he's able to divide that. Amen. I'm glad when I stand to preach, I don't have to try to figure out who this is for and what this is for, who for. God already has that and he knows what he's doing. And all I need to do is preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And so I need the instruction in righteousness. I left that one out. That needs in there too. And so we need to do all of that and be faithful as God would help us to do so. And realizing it takes the help of the Lord to do that. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly divided the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved. That is, put it in your head. Put it in your head. Psalms 119 and verse number 11. Thy word have I hid in thy heart, that I might not sin against thee. Hey, we need to put it in our head, hide it in our heart, and we'll have it there where we need it. Amen. And so the word of God, if it don't get it here, it'll never get here. And so hide it. Put it here, first of all, in your head. Read the word of God. Try to put as much of it there as you can. Remember that. And I was talking to Brother Billy Mitchell the other morning. I had breakfast with him, and just he and I was together, and we were talking. And I mentioned the fact about how he quotes the scriptures. We was talking about preaching and dealing with that. I said, Brother Ben, these times I can't even remember scriptures I used to know and quote real quickly, and somehow they're slipping by. And he looked at me and grinned and said, we're getting old, ain't we? But he said, preacher, don't worry about it. He said, I don't always quote them right either. And said, sometimes I have difficulty trying to get it. And said, these times. And by the way, he said, preaching, if a man will get up and preach and give the word of God, whether he quotes scripture or giving you truth from the word of God, it's all good. Amen. I said, praise God. That's right. It's all good. I said, it's the word of God. It's good. Amen. It doesn't make any difference what it's quoted. Sometimes I may miss a word here or there. I mispronounce words all the time. I have them up here, but I can't get them out here. And sometimes I don't even have them up here. And surely can't get them out here. And so, if I mispronounce a name, you just forgive me and say, call him Tojo or something and go home. Tojo wasn't too good. This fellow I'm going to talk about next, he wasn't too good either, so Tojo be good for him, amen. And so, but anyway, we're talking about preaching the word of God, hiding the word of God in our heart, and putting it in our minds and hearts so that we'll have that, and surely that's good. Now, we have looked here at Gaius, who was faithful. He's a faithful man. He was prospering in the Lord. He was growing in grace. Demas was that departing one. He departed. He forsook. Paul went back because he loved the world and left him. And that's the testimony he left. By the way, he is mentioned in Colossians. He's mentioned in the book of Philemon. Demas he is. But did you know those are erased out as you think about it when it comes to this? The last thing you know about Demas was he forsook Paul. He forsook him having loved this present world. Did you know he left a bad testimony? He left a bad, bad testimony as he left out. Then we come to Luke, Dr. Luke, and he said, only Luke is with me. He's sticking right there where he needs to stick. Demas left, undoubtedly may have. And I said this morning, when people leave, they sometimes discourage others. They sometimes hurt others and try and bring disgrace and hurt and discouragement. It brings a discouragement to all of our hearts when things go wrong. But Demas may have said to Luke, won't you come and go with me? I believe Dr. Luke looked at him and said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying in my pea patch. I'm sticking where God put me. I came here to help the Apostle Paul. I came here to help him preach the gospel. I intend to stick with the stuff and stay by it till God gets through with me. I say praise God for that dependable one that he was. Then we come to verse number 9, back in 3 John now. Back in 3 John. And Orphreys, or whatever his name is, you call him what you will. But there he is. And you know what this man is? He's one that is a divider. He divides. He doesn't bring together. He divides. You read what it says about him. And said, I wrote to the church, but here this fellow is. And said, he who loveth to have the preeminence among them receiveth us not. John's writing, and he said he wouldn't even receive us. And I wrote a letter to the church, but he wouldn't even acknowledge that. And he hid that, said he wanted the preeminence. And did you know that word preeminent in the Word of God is only used one other time? Look with me in the book of Colossians, chapter number 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18. Here's where that word is used. Preeminence means have first place. Preeminence means have a high place, first place. It means better than all the rest. It means beyond all the rest. And that's what the word itself means. Look what he said in Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Hallelujah. Who's to have the preeminence? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is to have the preeminence. And here this one that John's writing about, he said he wanted the preeminence, but he was dividing the people. He dividing the church. He dividing people from people, Christian from Christian. Look what he said about him. No, he didn't want the preeminence. He had to have first place or else. But look at verse number 10. Wherefore, by the way, let me say this today, tonight, whatever time it is, that you and I, none of us deserve anything. We don't deserve anything. Sometimes people think, I deserve this, I deserve that. When you come right down to it, we don't deserve anything. All we deserve is hell and go to hell and be without God. But God, by his marvelous grace and mercy, loved us enough to save us. Hey, say everything else is just gravy on top of that, amen? It's just a byproduct of being saved and God's grace continually working in our hearts and being called to preach is a grace of God. I mean, being up here tonight is not because I deserve to be up here. It's just the grace of God and the place where God put me. That's all I'm saying about it. But deserving something, I don't see myself that way. And having the preeminence in all things. Hey, Jesus is to have the preeminence in all things. He is the top notch, amen. He's the top one that we need to look to and realize. But look at verse number 10. Wherefore, if I come, John's saying now, if I come, and I believe he's planning on coming, well, that church, I believe he had that in mind when he wrote this letter. I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. And I'm going to stop there because there's another thing he said about him. But prating against us with malicious words. Prating means talking nonsense. That's what it means. Talking nonsense. And then maliciousness means hurtful. It means in a hurtful way. Talking nonsense in a way that hurts things. Good preaching, amen. Because we sometimes, if we're not careful, the devil will get our tongue in gear before our mind gets in gear. And we'll be saying things we ought not to say. And we'll be talking things we ought not be talking about. And it'll hurt other people. And amen. And so when it does so, it's like he was doing here. And he was talking maliciously against John. And here's a great apostle John, the beloved disciple. Here's the one that God used so mightily. And yet here's a man in the church that is running him down and talking prating, talking nonsense, accusing him of things not so, and maliciously attacking him. And isn't that sad? Is a sad way to be about it. And so he was doing that and having a time with it, I believe. And sometimes, and let me say this, your preacher may not always do everything. Sometimes I don't even agree with myself. Amen. Much less expect you to agree with me all the time. I don't even agree with me too. I sometimes look in the mirror and say, you crazy thing. You knothead. Amen. Y'all ever do that? If you haven't, you haven't looked at yourself real good. Because most of you in the same boat I'm in. Amen. You'd have to say, I don't agree with me sometimes. And so here we have this. But the Bible says in Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable for you. And talking about those who have the rule over, that's the pastors of the church, and to obey. And so that's not in any sense saying that the pastor has, we're not to rule over as being lords over the church, but to rule in a sense that God puts us here to lead in the right spiritual way and to go in the right direction. That's our responsibility. In fact, if I don't preach to you sometimes, and sometimes when you preach the word of God, it gets right down where you live. If I never get down where you live and nothing ever hurts you, as one feller said, a preacher got on my toes, and as he went out, he told the preacher about it. He said, you got on my toes. He said, I'm sorry. I missed. I was shooting for your heart. Amen. Sometimes we use that expression, you got on my toes. We know what you mean. It really got to us, said something to our hearts, said something about our life. And so it's good for all of us sometimes to be challenged and to see where we really are. Everybody needs some correction from time to time. Everybody needs to be straightened out from time to time. Everybody needs to be saying, now wait a minute, let's think about that. Let's look at what you're doing and find out if that's the right thing to do. Let's hear what you're saying, see if that's the right thing to say. Let's just get this thing right, amen? We need to get some things right. If we'll get it right in our hearts, God can do something. Hallelujah. Amen, I like that. That's good when I'm a preacher. It's good when anybody else preaching. I just say praise God. And so here he was, and he's prattling around and talking maliciously and going after things that he ought not have been saying or doing. And so here we come to the next thing he said about him. And not content therewith, he said he's not even content about running us down and attacking us, but said neither doeth he himself receive the brethren. He don't himself. He not. Gaius was receiving them and helping them and along the way, but said, this brother, he's in the church. He wants a preeminence, and he's causing trouble. He's a talking and accusing and maliciously doing it, and said he won't even receive the brethren himself. Neither. And here, notice this. Neither doth he receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would. And say, he forbids them that would receive them. He's saying no to them. And said, then casting them out of the church. He's saying, this fellow's pretty bad. I didn't write the book. I'm just preaching it. But he's causing a lot of trouble. He's causing a lot of mess. And God's saying, that fellow needs some help. Amen. And so what I'm saying is, that fellow needs some help. Look at verse number 11. Beloved, follow not, here's practical advice. Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil is not seen God. He's just simply saying this fellow's in the church. This fellow's doing all this stuff. Says you need to just not let him have any part whatsoever, because he's causing trouble and he's not receiving the brethren. He's not helping the preaching of the gospel. He's not helping get the gospel out. And so let's just go on and let's see what's good. Let's do what's right. Let's please God. Let's exalt Jesus. Let's lift him up. Let's give him the preeminent place. And let's just praise his name and say, glory to God, they still power in the blood. And Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Hey, I'm glad Casey got saved Wednesday night. I'm glad God's, amen. Praise God for the reality of what God is doing. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you tonight for he that is preeminent in all things of the church. And God, that we ourselves need to get out of the way and let him have his way by himself and get glory. I pray tonight now, Lord, that you'd help in this house every individual that's here. Lord, there's folk here that maybe need to get saved. And I pray the Holy Ghost bring conviction to them. Show them that they need Jesus Christ, who is able to handle the devil. And he's our victory. He is our help. Then I pray, God, that every person here that's saved, that they'll realize that Jesus is a preeminent one, and we ourselves need to let him have preeminence. Then, Father, help us as a church, as a people of God, that we'll exhort one another, encourage each other, and be in the work of God for the glory of God, and serve the Lord with a joyful heart, have a good testimony in this world. I pray tonight you'd have your way and invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.